I've recently been thinking a lot about what Christmas means to us, and I've been considering all of the traditional ways that we celebrate the birth of the baby Jesus. But lately, I have also been wondering what Christmas meant to God. Of course, we have no other ways to think about that but by associating God with our human ways. It's likely that it isn't really an accurate perspective because God is so far above our understanding. And I still think that it's a valuable exercise. Excuse me. For instance, how did God feel when Mary conceived his child? Was he fearful? Hopeful? I expect he was hopeful. It was such an unusual decision to send his son to enter into the lives of humankind that I can't believe he would do it without hope. He had to have had compelling reasons that I expect were all about his love for us and his desire to help us make creation all that he wanted it to be. And what about the day that Jesus was born? Did he share our human inclination to have pride in this small person he had created? Was he anxious about the little family he was entrusting him to and the danger that surrounded them? Was he already heartbroken because he knew of the coming sacrifice that would take place at Golgotha? Maybe God felt all those things just as we would have. But God sent his son for a reason. He knew that once again, humankind was off on the wrong track. The list of ways that mankind was messing up was growing rather quickly. He saw people divided into those that had great power and those that were abused by the powerful. He saw people who were not really participating in creation by using their work or sharing their talents. He saw people divided by nonsensical divisions such as race and ethnicity, religious beliefs, superstitions, and physical ability. I think that was not the creation God dreamed of when he stepped in and, in the words of the wonderful poet James Weldon Johnson, God stepped out on space and he looked around and he said, "I'm lonely. I'll make me a world." Up from the bed of the river, God scooped the clay, and by the bank of the river, he kneeled him down. And there the great God Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the most far corner of the night, who rounded the earth in the middle of his hand. This great God, like a mammy bending over her baby, kneeled down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay till he shaped it in his own image. Then into it he blew the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen. Amen. I think God had great hopes for his son to bring understanding and compassion to the world. I'm certain that he didn't just aim for some magic sweetness and light to fall on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, or hope that peace, tolerance, and joy would blossom one night out of all the other nights only to disappear the next day when people went back to their normal lives. How committed would you have to have been to send your only son into hostile territory on a grand last-ditch effort to help people see a different way to live? I think it would be much more intense than our Christmas celebrations indicate. I believe God's hope for us is that Jesus will totally transform our lives. In God's Christmas dream, we would see hunger and offer food. We would see people abused because of their differences, and we would respond by offering welcome and safe harbor. We would see pain and offer comfort. We would see prisoners, and we would open their cell doors and lead them to productive lives. We would see war, but work for peace. We would see strangers and cross the divides to build friendships. I'm going to go off script for just a moment, because this morning as I was listening to our readings, I thought about the differences between Bethlehem, which is in a Palestinian territory, and Jerusalem, which is a guarded city that bars Palestinians from entering its gates unless they have proper documents and a job to do or some other reason to pass through the gate and to go into Jerusalem. And I think about what a horrible, horrible division we have set up in the Holy Land between peoples who all listen to God. No doubt the Jewish people think about Isaiah and the words that he uttered in today's lesson. And no doubt he thinks about the Palestinians and the Christians and the care that they take of the Church of the Nativity over the place where Jesus was born. It's a very sad state of affairs in our world. And contrary to everything that God has told us we are to do, there's a lot of work for us to do. And many of us may not even know how to start. It's possible that we really celebrate Christmas if we understand that the baby in the manger didn't just come to make us feel warm and fuzzy for a day or two. He came to change everything. I'm inspired this Christmas. I hear his call to discipleship, and I feel that some possibilities are within my reach. There has never been a better time to examine our hearts for a crack that will allow us to break through the hardened outer shell and open ourselves up to the love that we can cultivate for God and our neighbors. After all, as the bumper sticker says, that is the reason for the season. That is the truest meaning of Christmas. And I pray that you will all remember that and work into the future toward a life that obeys God's word. Because I love you, and I pray for good health and peace for you and your families, and I pray that we will all experience the best Christmas ever. I wish you all a very Merry Christmas. Amen.